Well, as we get started here, I want everyone to know, first and foremost, what an honor it is for me to be with you. I have a lot of great friends, some relationships over the years, and I do have very fond memories of the Wasatch Mountains and Provo. When I was at the University of Pacific, Dan Arnold at the time was a basketball coach here. That's when they had Danny Ainge and Greg Kite and Steve Craig, and McMahon was the quarterback of the football team. He would have us top basketball players come in, and we would counsel the basketball camps during the summer, and then we scrimmaged against his players in the afternoon. So it was a wonderful treat, had a wonderful time. I've always had a special place for BYU, and especially hearing the great success that's happening with the school and the management. Today, definitely, I start off by saying, say hello to success. I mean, you start off this morning with Tom. I mean, Tom's the real deal. You know, he's a great human. He's got great integrity, great character. But, you know, he's probably made me $1 million just on his ideas. So I encourage you to sign up 10 times for his website, buy his books, give them to your clients, have the seminars, do all the above. Did I say that just the way you told me to? But anyway, I'm going to really get after with you today. If I'm correct, John said we're going to go till 4 o'clock. I'm just kidding. But, I am going to talk fast just like Tom does. I got a lot of stuff in a short period of time I want to incorporate. I have no secrets. I'm going to break everything down. First and foremost, I want you to know, and Tom told you this today, we have never had a better time to be in the financial service, the life insurance, the estate planning, the retirement planning business than today. We've never had a better time. I mean, I love to tell people how busy we are because we are in a recession-proof business. If someone loves someone or owes someone money, there's a need for our products. You know, TGIM, thank God it's Monday. I mean, I run to work. I can't wait to get started. Yeah, there's TGIF, but TGIM, we have so many opportunities to create income. We have so many opportunities to do things for your community, for your church, for your family. I mean, there are people right now sitting at home with their hand on their phones wondering, when is Dana going to give me a call? I mean, that's a business Wednesday. Because of these uncertain times, people want direction. The carrier, most of my product is sold through New York Life, and my philosophy has always been, and I love to tell people, that years ago in New York Life, for a lot of my suggestions and ideas, I was being criticized for being too conservative. Today, I'm being applauded because 12, 13 years ago, I was too conservative. So, you know, today people want direction. They want peace of mind. So much of what Tom talked about is right on. But my goal right now is I got handouts, and I'm in the breakout session. We're going to drill down some things I'm doing. I have no secrets. But there's some important facts we need to know before we get started. That first off, 2 out of every 2 people are going to die someday. But we just don't know when. You need to remind people of that. Every morning, I just like Tom, I've spoken in every major city in the country. Every day when I look at a paper, when we were in Jacksonville a couple years ago, I remember I talked about that when I spoke to that group. And I look at the paper, unfortunately, every day there's someone under age 50 that unexpectedly something happened. Okay? There are certain facts that we have to know, like, for example, on July 1, January 1, depending on the company and industry you're in, we're all batting zero. But there are certain things that successful people do in any walk of life, if it's school teaching, if it's the dean at the school of management, if it's in our business, if it's Tom, that they do every day, every week, every month that allows them to be successful. You know, I've never met anyone who was really successful that didn't pay their dues. Some people want to do it over 20, 30 years. I prefer to subscribe to that program that's in 6 months or 18 months. But we all know people that are just doing enough to get by. I call them employees. I encourage my clients. I encourage people I work with. I encourage you to be an employer because you are. But we have these great products. We have these great companies. We have so much opportunity out there right now. I've given talks. I've done CDs. We've done cassettes. I've done them on how to double your income in 1 year. The difference between good and great. What is the difference between good and great? It's this much. But you have to do it in everything you do. Why is it year in, year out? I just came back from the top producer meeting with New York Life. Every year, it's 98% of the same people. But we're all batting zero. What if all of us right now said, okay, we're going to have a meeting. We're going to go to Miami Beach. It's for the top people, the top 20 people. I guarantee you in the next 10 years, 98% will be the same top 10, 20 people. Because they have certain work habits that they do every day, every week, every month. Guy called me up the other day. I do a once a month webinar. He called me up and I go, are you pro rata? He says, no, he didn't know what I was talking about. I said, are you pro rata for Chairman's Council, which is the top with New York Life? He said, no, my numbers aren't there. I said, I didn't mean your first year commission. Are you pro rata on the people you're calling on? Are you pro rata the people you're shaking hands with? Are you pro rata where you're associating? Are you pro rata what time you get up in the morning, what you're doing in the course of the day? Why some people year in, year out, if it's in sports, business, school teaching, whatever it is, why they consistently have success, because there are certain things they do every day, every week, every month. So I changed this whole mental psychology. It wasn't about making first year commissions. It was about shaking hands, associating, getting in front of people that can write big checks. Get in front of people with big checkbooks. Get in front of employers rather than employees. Here's a secret idea. I mean, this is amazing. This is like you've never heard this before. One of the fastest, quickest, most effective ways to make more money, and as Tom would say, scientific, economic, mathematical, is call on older people. That is not that hard. Just call on older people. So anyway, I'm going to drill down on all these things, but let me tell you a little bit about myself. As mentioned, and you know, as Billy's been a longtime friend, and we've always had a wonderful relationship, and I always appreciate, you know, over the years, he said, Rick, you got to come. It's really an honor to be here. John, and last night was honestly one of the best dinners I've ever had in my life, and to sit next to our MDRT president, and Brandon, the customer service, A+. You guys do a great job. You have a tremendous reputation around the country. This is really a special meeting, and I can see how when you have people like Tom and the great speakers you have, you're very fortunate. Myself, as Bill mentioned, my dad, just so you know, was a former managing partner. He was the manager of a New York Life office. He was very effective. He was very successful. He went out and recruited my high school athletic director, my high school baseball coach, and my best friend's dad into the business. This is when I was in college. Okay? Well, I went to University of Pacific, where I was on a basketball scholarship. I also played baseball, and I majored in fraternity. Had a wonderful experience. But I really learned the power of time management. So, yeah, I was always the first guy to practice, last guy to leave. Coach would say, you got to make 10 free throws in a row. I'd make 12 or 15 at the end of practice, whatever it was. I'd always do a little bit more. Anyway, long story short, I wanted to give the life insurance in New York Life a chance. I wanted to give it a shot. But I was always a competitor. You know, I 24/7, whatever it took. I was up early, stayed up late, paid my dues. But I wanted to give it a shot. But then I realized right when I started, my dad had just retired. And the high school athletic director, the best friend's dad, and my high school baseball coach sold all my friends. It was 3 years before I had one family or friend buy a product from me. And my friend here, we were talking about this story, and it's true, but one of the things New York Life told me, it was, I'll never forget, and the training I received, was write 10 apps a month. If you write 10 apps a month, you build your base, you take care of them, they'll take care of you. Keep in mind, it took 3 years before I had one family or one friend buy anything from me, but the first month I wrote 10 apps. And the second month I did. I did that for 60 consecutive months. That was my goal, 5 years. 5 years. Okay? First year I made executive counts. I made a level of production for our company. Just missed the top. My second year at age 25, I made the top. I've made it every year since. So stuff I'm sharing with you, I'm not saying that to brag, but I'm just saying these are things that I have done over the years, and I have no magic wand, trust me. I have basic fundamentals of things I do every day, every week, every month, and that's what we're going to talk about. I firmly believe that half of this room, between Tom and the stuff I share with you today, you will double your income this year, and you'll stay there. And I've had many agents, I've been with companies for 20, 30, 5, 30, 40 years, say, Rick, gosh, great talk. You remind me of things that I used to do, and I don't know why I stopped doing it. So with that in mind, we're going to get after it right here. And I call this a victory list. And a victory list, sometimes I might say, you know, these are goals that, let's say, you have for yourself. You have for your family, you have for your business, you have for your church, you have for your community, you have for your children. I have goals for my 8th grade basketball team, things that we're working on. But write down the goal and why. If it's pay off a credit card, if it's to lose weight, if it's to learn another language, challenge yourself. Just challenge yourself. Everything you're seeing is going to be for handouts in the back that you can receive at the lunch. This is a victory list. I have my clients fill this out. Okay, and we'll talk about that. It's amazing when you remind people that very reliable statistic, but what's your victory list? It's your bucket list, basically. But why? Let's make it tangible. Let's put it in front of people. Do it with your staff. Do it with your children. Do it with your church. Number one, plan your work. Work your plan. The biggest cancer in business today. Tom had amazing ideas, but what if you don't apply them? What if you don't use them? What if you don't go to this website? What if you're not organized and know how to do it? Okay? So anyway, I have found over the years why I got out the gate, why I've been able to maintain that level of success, why I could start a bank, an entertainment company, run 26.2-mile marathons, do all this stuff. It's called organizational skills. I can't tell you how many talented, great people we know, but they lack organizational skills. You have the great products. You know all the people. That's why businesses, restaurants go out of business. And I'll tell you, many years ago, this is something I love to tell people on appointments, because most people, keep in mind, do not understand our products. You could explain that mortality credit probably 10 times to someone. It might take 11 times for them to understand it. Okay, but they want to trust you. Today we're going to drill down your elevator talk. What do you say? Your walk, your talk, your shine in your shoes. What does the trunk of your car look like right now? It's that little stuff that makes all the difference. Okay, they did a study many years ago at Harvard. They interviewed the top 100 students. Hey, this is the things that I say on appointments. And I tell them, I said, interview the top 100 students. They go, how many have a plan, have a goal, have a direction with your life? This is Harvey McKay writes this in his books. Of those top 100, only three did. 20 years later, they go back to the same 100 students. The three that had a plan, a goal, a direction of their life accumulated more money, more wealth, and more success than the other 97 combined. I want you, I want your business, I want my client, I want you to be one of those three people. We're going to work together as we go down the road. Maybe that's all you have to say for that person. I'm going to do business. I trust this person. I like this product. But that's the walk and talk that we have. The biggest cancer in business today is the lack of organizational skills. So keep that in mind. This is a program that I do it once a month. It's called A Victory Every Day. I have a personal goal, I'll just tell you, and I hope you have some goals like this too. I try to raise $100,000 every year for local charities by giving back. A speaking fee, when I sell something, whatever it is, I give it back to our communities. I'm in Stockton, California, a town of 250,000 people. Agriculture is a big deal. I'm out in the Central Valley, hour and a half east of San Francisco. Grew up there, love there, but we have a lot of challenges, like a lot of communities do. And so anyway, I do a program for the country. About 1,000 people subscribe to it. And this is what it's all about. If people pay attention to this, you become a millionaire sooner than later. Trust me. It's called being a victory every day. And this is what I've been doing since I was 23 years old. Basically, this is my track to run on. I see so many agents that come to an office today, and on Monday they say, okay, who am I going to call on? What am I going to do? Oh, I got a meeting. That's good. I got a meeting from 10 to 12. That means I won't have to make any phone calls. I'm going to go check the mail 3 times today, walk back and forth. Hey, Bill, you want to have lunch today? I know I can't sell you. You can't sell me, but we're going to go have lunch. Okay? Not real productive. So anyway, what I do here, and you know, I get up a lot earlier than this, but anyway, for here, it's 5 to 7:30 in the morning. You know, in my handout, you'll see I do a thing on 10 things you got to do every morning before 10 o'clock. Stanford did a study many years ago, the difference in the book on difference in good and great. Basically, successful people get up early. They do productive things. If it's clean out your closet, clean out the garage. I like to do, in the nice weather, I do what's called a cardio car wash. I take two of my cars, I park them outside in the driveway area, and I'm multitasking. I'm going to get exercise and wash the car at the same time. So I'm going like this as fast as I possibly can. And if you do that for about 25 minutes, your body's going like this when you're done. But I've washed the car and I've got a workout in. I call it my cardio car wash. But anyway, these are things that I'm doing. So I get up early every morning. For me, between 4 and 6 o'clock, that's my planning organizational time. That's my delegation. California, I call the East Coast. I leave voice messages, the Wall Street Journal, the CNBC. I'm a preparation nut. Successful people have an edge. If you're the New York Yankees, great bullpen. Mario, what's his last name? Rivera comes out. You know, he has an edge. He has a certain pitch. Our industry, Tom, every successful person has an edge. The school here, they didn't just overnight become number two. They have an edge. Certain things they're doing every day, every week, every month. What is your edge? If you don't have one, get one. For me, it's preparation. Everybody here has unique abilities and so much talent. Tap it. Use it. Every morning, you should be looking in the mirror, having your own board of directors meeting right there. You're the chairman, the president, the marketing, the CFO of your company, of yourself. Okay, so anyway, by my planning, organization, preparation time, so about by 6 o'clock, I feel really good about my day. I already know what appointments I have because the night before I left the office, during the whole day, I was working on whom I'm seeing. Like, for example, right now, I know everything I'm doing next week, especially what I'm doing on Monday. What appointments I have, what hands I got to shake, what service things I got to follow up on, what consultants things are doing for me in New York to prepare some things for my presentations, some community stuff. I have basketball practice, phone calls I have to make. Everything's already prepared. Okay? So when I wake up in the morning, I have a track to run on. Okay, so I do that planning and preparation. Like this morning, there was a thing in the USA Today on the stocks were up last year or all down. I mean, it's kind of concerning. Hey, this is off the subject, but does anybody know what a mech is? Okay? Today, mech's a good word. A mech is what? It's on what? On a gain. 10% on the gain. Isn't it nice to know that you have something that's a guaranteed gain? I mean, you can't do that with real estate. Aren't too many things you could do that today. Mech's a good word. You want to have a mech. That's a great problem to have. High five that person. Congratulations. That's 10% on your gain. A lot of people love to have to pay a little 10% penalty on gain. Okay, moving forward. 6 o'clock every day. That's my workout time. Exercise. Two most important assets we have. Number one is our health. Number two is time and how you manage it. Okay, trust me. Making money is right up there with oxygen. I know that. But you got to have your health together. But also, you got all these great ideas from me, from Tom, from everybody, wherever you're doing, your companies you work for. Our breakout sessions. There's some great stuff out there. But you got to know how to incorporate it into your life. Okay, you can't be distracted. So at 6 o'clock, I get my exercise in. I have a routine I do every morning, about 10 minutes to 7. I have two great dogs that follow me and watch every move I have because they know at 10 minutes to 7 every day we go for a walk. And we go up and down on the golf course, go up and down the golf course, we throw the baseball, we come back, wake my family up. I have two boys that are in 8th grade and freshman in high school. I take them to school every day. No cell phone on, no radio on. You would talk about stuff, situations. I enjoy that time. This morning I missed not being able to do that, but I did talk to them on the phone. And then I usually get to the office around 7:45, 8, but if I'm not at quarter to 8, 8 o'clock, I have a breakfast appointment someplace, 2-3 days a week. And my appointments are, I love to tell people how much I love my job. I love to tell John, you know, I just wanted to know how excited I was to see you today. And things that I like to say, the elevator talk, which we're going to talk about, which is so, and Tom, this is something in your presentations too, which, you know, all this great stuff Tom's telling you, but you got to get it down. You know, see, it has to become, just like I know as a basketball player, if I went right, if I went left, the guy I was guarding, I knew if he dribbled before he shot or if he shot right away. It becomes second nature. But when I'm on an appointment, I become a good listener. And I love to have 3 appointments a week, just coffee. And if a guy's not a client yet, I like to say, are you still taking referrals? What's a good referral for you? I want them to know. If I'm standing in line at Starbucks, I love to tell people, I am so busy right now. You are? Just say, yeah, I'm in a recession-proof business. If someone loves someone or owes someone money, there's a need for our product. I love what I do. What do you do, Rick? I said, well, I've made a career at New York Life. I love my job. You know, I would love to have a file in my office with your name on it. That'll make you $1 million if you start sending that to people. Brandon, I would love to have a file in my office with your name on it. I'll tell you what's going to happen for the agents who are just getting started. That person is going to want to hire you because he wished his salespeople, his employees had that confidence. I would love to have a file in my office with your name on it. It's a sign of stability. It's a sign of confidence. For the new agents, FYI, when you're out in the community, if someone says what you're doing, take the word started out of your vocabulary. You want to say, I've made a career in whatever company you're with. Like for me, I would tell someone, you've made a career at New York Life. Career is what? A sign of commitment. You know, it's the branding you're creating for yourself in the community of confidence, of integrity, of leadership. And these are things we're going to talk about. So now I got a coffee appointment. I'm in front of this guy. It's all good. I mean, it's amazing. A lot of times I'm just visiting with somebody without trying to sell something to them. Good things will happen. And one of my goals that every single time I meet with somebody, I want to make them the president of my fan club. I want to make them an ambassador of mine. So how are you going to do that? Be a good listener. Ask questions about them. It's amazing today. You can Google somebody. You can go on their website and learn. The other day, this guy was starting up a new company. I knew who his chairman was, who his vice president was, where his conference was last month. I did my homework. He was very impressed. He said to me, Rick, no wonder you're so successful. I mean, it took me 3 minutes to Google his company and look at their website and just check a few things out. Preparation. I look for ways to be better prepared. So then from 8 to 10, I'm in my office. Okay, I have this checklist of 10 things I do every day before 10 o'clock. You'll see that's in the handout. But 10 things I try to do that are productive, out the gate, getting after it. Early in my career, I set a goal, and I challenged myself. I love to challenge myself. And honestly, right now, I just celebrated my 28th year. I feel like I'm just scratching the surface because there's so much opportunity out there. But I'll tell you, I set a goal. I wanted to make $1,000 in first year commission every morning before 10 o'clock. Okay? So, and I, what I would do is between 6 and 8, I'd have some coffee appointments. I'd get in front of people. Or I'd start making phone calls, and I'd do like an age change, talk about age change. Or talk about finding out if someone has interest in converting their term. Or just getting together. Just proactive, getting after it, hungry, trying to, in a professional way, create first year commissions right out the gate. But you can't come to the office and reinvent. You've got to be organized to do that. Okay, and one of the things I've learned through athletics and sports and all the above is, anybody here like to work out and exercise and run and do those things? Probably most people do. Do you warm up before you get started? Okay, you stretch a little bit, you loosen up, you get the Achilles tendons, okay? Well, I have a thing in our office, we call it warm-up calls. Because I'll tell you, we all have those challenging service, you want to convert the term, let's get together, you know the guy is your neighbor, it's a little uncomfortable phone call. Before you get into those tough, challenging phone calls, do your warm-up calls. A warm-up call is a feel-good phone call. You call your parents, call your brother. I love you, how you doing? Wanted to say hello. Just get good words, good verbiage out of your mouth. Feel good phone calls. Call someone up to wish them a happy birthday. Say congratulations. I have 1,000 agents around the country subscribed to my program. I call them out of the blue, and I'll say, Tom, how you doing? Top of the day, Rick Paulson. And I go, hello, hello? I can hear them going, you're actually calling me? And but I look for ways to make someone's day. To say happy birthday, to say congratulations, to say that I love you in my warm-up calls every day. Now I feel good, I'm off and running, I got words out of my mouth, then I get into those challenging phone calls. It's that little stuff that really makes a difference. Okay, so now I'm off and running between 8 and 10. I look at everything I've accomplished. So now from 10 to 12, I have 4 or 5 things I got to work on, I got to delegate, I'm going to work with the whole, but you know, I'm challenging myself in these periods of time. Okay, 12 to 2, I have a lunch appointment, but I'm going to swing by, get gas in my car, get the car washed, and I'm going to do something else. And by the way, I love to drop in on people. Let's say you have this doctor lives across the street from you. You see him all the time, you have a good rapport with him, but you don't want to lose that rapport, and the wives get along great. So if you call him up and say, I want to talk about life insurance, it might not happen. So those kind of people, I call it a power day or a power, I'll drop in, and I'll make a point to come by with nothing in my hand, and I'll just say, I was next door, I saw your business here, I just wanted to come in and say hello. But come by as a friend, not someone trying to sell something. And I tell you, I can't tell you how many sales I've made over the years of just dropping in. And some days I would dedicate like a Tuesday. Shine your shoes, wash your car, dress for success, have nothing in your hand, and leave the office. You cannot go in the office all day. Leave your house and just drop in on people all day. You'll fill the next quarter up with business so people will be so impressed that you came by. You're good clients, you want to be clients, you're friends. Hey, I was next door, I just wanted to come by. Come by as a friend, not someone trying to sell something. And what will happen? They'll take you around the back, introduce you as their life insurance agent. Come on, sit down. I've been wanting to talk to you anyway, Rick. Something clicks, pushes that button for them to do business with you. It works. Okay, so from 2 to 5 now, I'm making phone calls. I'm planning tomorrow's day. I might have an appointment. And then usually I have basketball or baseball practice or something that I'm doing that evening. And I've had a great day. I feel really good about it. Now, also on the side over here, and I have a little cheat sheet, as you'll see right here, these are things that have to get done today. Okay, people I have to see, people I have hands I got to shake, things I got to do. That's, for example, I got a couple monster cases I'm working on right now that every day I'm doing something to move that forward. Okay? Phone calls I have to make, some emails. On the back down here, I write my referrals on the back. Now, let's say I do everything on this list, but I didn't make a sale. I've still had a great day. I've had a proactive top producer, top of the table, $1 million commission day. Because I know if I do that tomorrow and I do that on Wednesday, I keep doing it, I'm going to have nothing but great success. But that's the difference of, for me anyway, why I've been able, people say, how can you do it year in, year out? How can you be involved with other things? How can you start up a bank? Is because I was organized. I mean, this isn't rocket science. This is simple stuff. It's a matter of you're willing to do it. Hey, trust me, I love to sleep in. It's a treat for me not to set the alarm. But years ago, I learned, this is so, isn't it amazing if someone was to say to you, Wouldn't it be great to have an extra day, an extra 8 hours a week to read, to study, to exercise, to go fish, whatever you want to do, to ski? Wouldn't that be great? So what I used to get up at 6 o'clock. I figured out 4 days a week I'm going to get up at 4 o'clock. There's 2 hours each morning I can read, I can study, I can plan, I can prepare, I can exercise, I can do a cardio car wash, whatever it is. So there's 8 hours, and that took my business, that took my income, that took my lifestyle to a whole nother level. So just for whatever it's worth, I've never been anywhere successful that did not pay their dues. It's just a typical week. It's in the handout, and you will see pretty much what I just explained to you. But it's organized. I like to plan my appointments a week to 10 days out. One of my favorite things to do is I'll just call on people, and I'll tell you something. We'll talk about this, and we call it the RP method. Is I love to put people on notice of what I do. Jan, I love to tell people I love my job. I made a career with New York Life. And I also like to say I'm very comfortable working with family businesses, successful people, multimillionaires, people that have a net worth over $30 million. I will tell them that. I would love to have a file in my office with your name on it. And sometimes they'll say, why? I'll tell you why. That's a great question. First off, confidentiality is very important to me. But in my office, my clients, I know their height, I know their weight, I know what the medication they take, I know who their doctor is, I know their social security and their date of birth, I know what their dreams and goals are, and I know the beneficiary. When they pass on, when something goes sideways, I'm the first phone call. Not their accountant, not their attorney, not the guys they golf with. And I take that very seriously. And that's why I'm comfortable working with you. What's better, Tuesday or Thursday morning that you and I can have a cup of coffee? Now, Lou, you know what? It catches them off guard, it puts them back on their heels. But many times they will say, you know, Rick, I got everything organized. I really appreciate it. Best man at my wedding, my wife's friend took care of this. You know what my response is? Fantastic. Outstanding. I wish everybody could say that. I'm going to turn this guy into an ambassador of mine. I'm going to make him president of my fan club. Because I have learned. I've had people over the years say, Rick, I don't know why you're so nice to me. I'm not going to buy any more life insurance. Well, that same person bought a $25 million permanent life insurance policy. Another person told me that. Writes a check-o-matic, 100 grand a month. That same person who bought the $25 million and said he'd never buy from me, in the last year has given me $4 million to put to a safe place with New York Life. And I've insured his kids for $15 million each. The same guy said, Rick, I don't know why you're being so nice to me. I'm not going to buy any more life insurance from you. They do. Never burn a bridge. Put them on notice how much you love your job. You'd love to have a file in your office with their name on it. Because sooner or later, whoever they're working with, that person's going to make a mistake. That person's going to die. Or, what I try to do, I try to position myself at number two spot. These ideas that Tom gave you, the guy's working with Morgan Stanley, they got everything together, I got this trust guy in the city, he does it all for us. All of a sudden, something's going to happen one day, they're going to want to get a second opinion. But because you position yourself at number two spot, you never burn a bridge. And I have found, my best referrals come a lot of times from these people, because keep in mind, this guy just told me, Rick, no thanks, I got everything organized, I got everything in place. Great. I see the guy a month later. I go out of my way to say hi to them. Jan, how are you doing? Great to see you. How's your family doing? I really enjoyed visiting you on the phone the other day. I mean, he's thinking, I told this guy I'm not going to do business with you, but I'm treating him like he's my best client. By the way, I might have a referral for you. Okay? So I see Jan again. Jan, how are you doing? I am turning him into an ambassador of mine. Because I know that Jan knows a lot of great people. And some of them are people I want to do business with. Hey, I'm not going anywhere. So I love to put people on notice. Right now, you know, for New York Life, the end of their council year is not till the end of June. So right now, I'm getting in front of every multimillionaire, every successful person, every big checkbook I possibly can, and I'm putting them on notice how much I love my job and how much I love to have a file in my office with their name on it. But because of this wonderful story, and you have to remember this, is imagine this beautiful day. There's this couple. It's a gorgeous Sunday morning, and there's a breeze coming in through the window. And they're reading the paper and having coffee. Can you imagine if the wife turned and looked at the husband and said, honey, what a great day. So beautiful. Let's call Rick Paulson and buy some more life insurance. That just doesn't happen. We know that. So you have to know that too. So do your warm-up calls and start putting people on notice that you like to do business together, that you've got some cutting-edge ideas you like to share with them, that you got this mortality credit idea. You've got some things that Rick shared with you that you can take up to another direction. You're not going anyplace. You love what you do. Today's your first day in the job. What are you telling people? I've made a career in the financial service with New York Life, whatever it is. Career is a sign of commitment. But over a period of time, you're going to wear them down. They're going to be impressed because they've been watching you, and you're a professional and you're consistent. Trust me, it goes a long way. All right, this year, this here in itself can change your life. Plan your work, work your plan. Just from what Tom said today. You know what I was doing today? I was making a list of all the people here that I'm going to call that I think mortality credit, a guaranteed lifetime income paycheck would make a difference in their life. So I'm going to make a list. I made a list. Now I'm going to get their email, phone, or fax. And I'll come back to what that touch base means. And then the next one, important notes. Every time I call someone's office, I want to know that person's name who's answering it. Because it could be their wife, their girlfriend, the gatekeeper. You want to bond with that person. That person's name's Sally. Sally, how are you doing today? I want to introduce myself. We've never talked before. My name's Rick Paulson. I'm calling if I can schedule 15 minutes with a doctor one day after lunch, if it's possible to work me in. Oh, he's really busy. He's got a lot on his plate. I said, Sally, do you mind if I call you next Monday? Sure, but he's going to be real busy. I said, no problem at all. Sally, how long have you been with the doctor? Oh, for 15 years. That is fantastic. Did you grow up in town? Now I got a rapport with Sally. Sally told me she's got this festival at the church this weekend, and her daughter goes to the University of Virginia. I make a note of all this. Monday, I call up Sally. Sally, Rick Paulson, top of the day. Hey, how was the festival? And we talk about her daughter in Virginia. Now we got a rapport, we got a relationship. I'm not going anyplace, but if I do that on a consistent basis, pretty soon Sally's going to say, you know, doctor needs some direction. He's all over the place. You sound like a good guy. How's next Thursday at 2:15? It happens. But you got to be organized to do that. Okay, then I got a list of young couples that maybe just got married. What about grandparents? What about godparents? What about everybody I know over 65? Okay, and then FYC, what I kind of project the first year commission to be. What happens is I have no idea who I'm going to do business with in December, January, February, March next year. No clue. But somehow I'll make $100,000 every month. But certain things I do every day, every week, every month. And you can too. Okay? But touch base. What that means, if their name goes on this, every week, they're going to hear from me somehow. Something in the mail, a phone call, an email, I shake hands. I mean, I look for, okay, here's a fundraiser, it's $250, it's a lot of money, but gosh, there's 68 people there that I want to shake hands with. To me, that's a good investment of time. I'm not going to be passing out cards and selling life insurance. I'm going to be just selling myself. I'm upbeat, I'm positive, I love my job. Your walk, your talk, how you shake hands. It's all about, you know, your branding. So anyway, every week, if they're on this list, they're going to hear from me somehow. See me, talk to me. They want to hear it. They want to see me. They want to read it. But don't just put someone on there that you just sold last week. If their name goes on there, it's someone you're going to attack, you're going to get after. It's part of your system. Create your own system. I mean, Tom's ideas, my ideas. But, you know, maybe you create your own. But I guarantee for me, these are guardrails that guarantee me a great lifestyle, a great things to do in the community. Be consistent. You know, Tom and I, we get you guys pumped up. I mean, we could get you guys running out the door, but one of the challenges we have here is we call them seminar junkies. I mean, they're fired up. They're pumped up. They're getting up early. They're making phone calls. They got the warm-up calls going. Rick, I cardio car washed 3 times last week. I'm doing everything you could possibly, what you're talking about. But guess what? They're slowing down. By Wednesday, they're back to the old habits. By Friday, they're doing the same old thing. Don't be a seminar junkie. I mean, the ones that are willing to pay their dues, you know, 10 things before 10 o'clock. I mean, listen, I love to play golf. You know, we like downtime. I love to sleep in. But I know these are things that, for me, and I've seen my income continue to go up, 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 and create other opportunities and bring value to charities and different things in my community by just being organized. Got to have a contagious positive attitude. I mean, again, it speaks for itself. Positive people see opportunities. I mean, there's no secret here. And so I just tell you some stories. We all have the worst day. We all have a day that something goes sideways. Okay, if you have a terrible morning, have a great afternoon. If today's a bad day, tonight's going to be terrific. It's going to be awesome. If so often today is just like the worst day of your life, tomorrow's a brand new one. Successful people shake things off. I mean, I've had, trust me, going back in my career, I'll never forget, I had a very busy day. I got to the office, I forgot to put a belt on. It was the middle of the summer, it was a hot day. Okay, no problem. Then I had a leak right here in my pants. Every time I do this, still today, I still vision like a nightmare of that big blue stain I had here in my shirt. Okay, so I keep my jacket on all day. That morning, I had someone call up. It was early in my career. It was a $300 a month check-o-matic. They changed their mind. Their accountant said it was a bad idea. Okay, 9:30, I had two people show up at the same time for the appointment. They got the days wrong, or maybe I did. I mean, every single thing was going sideways that day. But I always remembered and heard and read about successful people, like in the Major League Baseball All-Stars, right, in the playoffs right now. Someone will go 0 for 4, no hit, strikeout, no hit, strikeout, and their last at-bat, they had a home run, they're the hero. You know, whatever happened in the past, they forgot about. Successful people are always looking forward, always thinking ahead. True story, I was having the worst day like that. Everything was going sideways. Five minutes to five, I'll never forget, my secretary at the time had gone home. It was Dr. Bewley. 2 years before this, an attorney wanted some information on a second to die life insurance policy for $5 million. That day, I got it over to that attorney. Immediately, you know, got to get right after it. I never heard from him for a couple weeks. Okay, no problem. Every quarter, I kept my name in front with a nice newsletter. But by the way, when I send newsletters out, they're all personalized. It takes a couple hours, but I personalize every one. None of these CPA newsletters, they're form ones. You get four of the same newsletters from four different CPA firms. I personalize them all. Okay? Every quarter, I did that for 2 years. Worst day you could possibly imagine, everything going sideways. 5 minutes to five, I get a phone call. It was a Thursday. It was on November 1. I'll never forget. Answer the phone. It was this doctor who 2 years ago, I'd given information on this attorney. He said, Rick, my attorney recommended me to give you a call. I'm thinking, God, that was 2 years ago, but it's okay. Here it is, November 1. I need to purchase $5 million of second-to-die life insurance. I don't want to spend any more than $150,000 a year, and I need to have it done before the end of the year. Oh, by the way, I want my kids to be the owner beneficiary. Can you do this for me? Okay, absolutely. I was excited and fired up, and we met at 10 o'clock the next morning. Now, keep in mind, this was the worst day. Everything had gone sideways up to that phone call. So that night I got home. My wife said, how was your day? Unbelievable. Fantastic. You can't believe what happened to your shirt? And then I went on to say, I'd already forgotten about everything else that had gone sideways. All I know is, you know, we just had a great sale, but it was something I stayed with. I didn't burn any bridges. But well, that's a true story. I mean, how many times have you called someone up and said, you call someone to say, Rick, you're wasting your time. I mean, I had a very successful trucker. Very successful trucker. I'm staying in touch. I knew his kids, went to high school with them. Big, heavy-set guy, big ego. Kind of reminded me of a guy you might see like in The Sopranos, that type of guy movie. And so I called him finally. He said, listen, Paulson, I'm not going to buy life insurance, and I don't like insurance agents. But if you want to come down here tomorrow morning, that's up to you, but you're just wasting your time. And I said, how about 9 o'clock tomorrow morning? He said, fine, go ahead. You're wasting your time, but okay, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Because I've learned over my career that if I stay in touch, never burn a bridge, put them on notice, I love what I do, good things might happen. So I go down, I see this guy smoking a cigar. He's halfway down with his cigars, 9 o'clock in the morning. Wood panel walls, pictures of him playing golf 22 years ago on the wall. Just a total crack up. So I sit behind this big desk, ashtray, I sit down. And he says, Paulson, listen, again, I'm not going to buy life insurance, and I don't like insurance agents. And I said, Mr. Antonini, I respect that. But let me ask you a question. Okay, you've told me you're not going to buy any life insurance, and you can't stand the guts of any life insurance agent. Other than those two things, can you think of any other reason why you wouldn't want to do business with me? He looked at me. He says, no wonder you're so good. True story. Okay, so nothing happened that day, that next month. About, 7, 8 months later, I get a phone call, believe it or not. He says, Paulson, I can't believe I'm calling you, but my account says I need $2 million of insurance. What do I got to do? Okay, never burn a bridge. Okay, but just having that meeting with him, he gave it to me, I gave it right back to him in a very respectful way. So anyway, go down the road a little bit. A year later, he calls me up, he says, Rick, I can't believe this. Thanksgiving, we're sitting around the table. My two sons are working in the company. We're talking about when mom and dad died, it was kind of they have a daughter also, who's a school teacher in Walnut Creek, married to an attorney, they have three kids. And they were also kind of sad, and we're talking about mom and dad die, and I remember you talked about that very reliable statistic, and one thing led to another, and the boys and my daughter got into a big argument because they felt when I die, my boys are going to get the business, and the daughter's going to get the house and whatever else left over. And she said, no, these are my parents too. Why wouldn't I split a third, a third, a third? And so long story short, my account says I need to buy one of these life insurance policies to equalize the estate. So now we're buying a $3 million life insurance policy on the parents. The daughter's the owner beneficiary, so when they pass on, she gets $3 million. The boys get the business, the kids, the grandkids, everybody gets along. This was the same guy that said, I'm not going to buy insurance, and I can't stand the guts of life insurance agents. So, you know, I'm in there for the long haul. You know, people want stability. They want consistency. They want people that, you know, Again, Noah wakes up in the morning and says, what a beautiful day to buy life insurance. Contagious positive attitude. Your glass should always be half full. Got to have a burning desire to want to be successful. How many people here on a consistent basis want to make over $100,000 a year? We all do. Okay, real simple. Let's just keep it, just for number's sake, let's keep it at $100,000. You're not going to work weekends. You're going to take 2 months off every summer. That means you're only going to work 10 months out of the year. You're only going to work 8 hours a day. Now, if you do this, I guarantee you'll make $100,000 every year. But if you want to multiply, it depends on how much you want to work. You can make $1 million if you want. But let's just keep it simple for $100,000. Okay? This is what you do. You're going to work, 10 months. That means you got to make $10,000 a month. 10 times 10 equals $100,000. Okay, let's break that down. This is the way I do it. This is what worked for me. So I break it down early in my career to $2,500 a week, 8 hours. Then I broke it down to $500 a day. 5 times 5 is $2,500. Then I broke it down to $250 before noon, $125 before 10 o'clock. I broke it down to $62 an hour, all the way down to about $16 for every 15 minutes. It's amazing to me how many new agents sit in bullpens and they make phone calls. They call the same person every day. Now, how much time did I tell, how much money did you just cost yourself? Bill and I go to lunch. That's an hour and a half. I just cost myself $100, let alone probably had to buy lunch. I can't sell him. He can't sell me. You know, when you're sitting in a meeting, you have to start as a businessman. Remember, you look in the mirror. You have your board of directors meetings right there. You have to take a step back and say, okay, am I spending my time the right way? And that's why I do my preparation organizational stuff. And it really makes a difference. So now I take it to another level and say, okay, how many phone calls, after I do my warm-up calls, how many phone calls do I have to do to get an appointment? How many appointments do I have to do to make a sale? And how many sales I do to meet my goal? 100,000 is easy. But if you do that, trust me, you'll double your income overnight. So what I try to do now, I have certain goals. With New York Life, it's like, I don't know, 200, two something. Anyway, I just try to get out of the way in the first quarter, first 3 months. I personally challenge myself. Put people on notice how much I love my job. What's the worst thing they're going to say? No. But I'm not going to burn any bridges. I'm just planting seeds because I got 9 more months to circle back to create opportunities. And as you look at this, I'm going to go back real quick because I think this is important. A burning desire to want to be successful. How many people here like to play golf? Well, what's your handicap? 13. Beautiful. You ever watch the Golf Channel? Have you ever had a golf lesson? Now, keep in mind, I only pick on people I like, okay, just as we go through this. Okay, you ever had your swing video taped? Okay. You watch golf on the weekend, you read a golf magazine, you have Golf Channel. You upgrade your clubs every so often, okay. What is your handicap as a life insurance agent? Are you a scratch? Are you a 13? Are you a 30? And you don't have to answer that. Okay. The point is, so often, is that sometimes we fall in the habits of spending more time. You know, we'll videotape our golf swing or our tennis swing. And we'll spend all this energy and time and read and everything to perfect our hobby. But what about what we do every day? So sometimes take a step back, and if you're in management or yourself, that's why I'm a big believer of the things that Tom talked about, and you go to conferences and seminars and webinars, you know, you invest in these things, it really does make a difference. So sometimes take a step back and make sure that you are not spending too much time on a hobby. Hobbies are rewards. Dreams do come true. This year will make you $1 million. This idea right here, we had a success psychologist. I'm in 2 national study groups of top producers. And we had this success psychologist come in, husband and wife, had us all write down, said at the time, write down 20 things you haven't done in your life and you still want to do. These are my appointments, by the way. I don't show illustrations. This is the kind of stuff I talk about. Okay, like with Tom, I might show the grandparents, the grandmother sitting there with the box. I love that idea. I might bring a box on the appointment. But anyway, not one of us could fill out 20 things that we haven't done with our life and we still want to do. Not one of us. And he says that's very common because we're so busy. So he encourages us to take a step back, be better organized. So then I took it a step farther and I started doing this with my clients. And I go, let's sit down together, or you and your wife, and between now and our next appointment, fill this out. What are 20 things for you, your family, your grandchildren, your charity, your community, things that you want to do that can make a difference? And write them down. And that's your to-do list, your bucket list. And I've had more people say, Rick, that really helped us. We mark them off and everything else. Now, this is where the salesmanship comes in. Client comes in. This is fantastic. It's confidential. And I said, this is great. You got 25 things. That is fantastic. It's for families. It's for kids. It's for charities. It's for communities. It's for your grandkids. Okay? Right now, you have a $1 million term policy. It's for 20 years. And you've had it for 7 years. So that means in 13 years, you're going to lose this umbrella of coverage. know, we call it human capital. The income you're making, the success you're having. If something happens to you right now, probably millions is not enough, but it's probably going to allow a lot of these things to happen. But what are we going to do in 13 years? You're still going to, you never stop redoing your dreams come true list. So that's why a lot of these are permanent dreams, right? Then we should have permanent coverage. Okay? Or the other thing is, I do sometimes, you have $1 million of coverage, but this is awesome. This is great stuff you have here. You need $5 million of coverage. Put an umbrella over all that because, you know, you're making $200,000, $400,000 a year. Let's insure your future income. I mean, insure your house, your car, your boat, and everything else. But your most important asset, obviously, is yourself and your ability to go out and create income. So anyway, let's put a fence. So anyway, this is something that hones in on why they bought the life insurance, why they need to have permanent coverage, why they need to keep it in force. You've got to have overachieving goals. Just challenge yourself. As I talked to you about before, you know, early in the morning, how many commissions or how many sales, how many appointments you can have. You know, for me, I like challenges, but the better prepared I am, the better organized I am, somehow the more success I have. You must have overachieving goals. Now, in the breakout sessions, which I'm going to do this afternoon, we're going to drill down on each one of these, just so you know. The RP method, this is something that New York Life has really put a lot of investment and time in, and it's the Rick Paulson method. Basically, every time I meet with anybody, when they get in the car and they leave my office, I want them saying, I'm so glad we're with Rick. I trust him. We've tried to brand ourselves in the community, someone they can trust, that has integrity, has leadership, that we respect. True story, we had a product that we just recently discontinued, but the guy that said, Rick, I'm not going to do business with you, about $25 million and all this stuff, called me up the other day and said, okay, Rick, he's got his wife on the phone, or we're going to give you $2 million for that Ponzi scheme thing you were talking about. Those were his exact words. Ponzi scheme. And I said, no, it's not a Ponzi. And he goes, I know, Rick, I just trust you, though. So what are you doing to create that trust? It's the little things. Little things mean what? The little things are everything. The difference between good and great, it's this much, but you have to do it in everything you do. So create ambassadors. Every time you have an appointment, I don't expect them to say, where do I sign up? But over a period of time, good things happen. They send you referrals. You know, how do you get referrals? Make yourself referable. Never burn a bridge. Someone says, I got everything organized. I bought a ton of life insurance, Rick, with my best friend. I said, that is fantastic. I wish everybody could say that. If I can ever be an assistance to you down the road, don't hesitate to give me a call and put down that phone. I called on a guy. He's worth about $500 million. He's the largest grower and packer of tomatoes and real estate, and you name it. He's a success story. He's a brilliant guy. He actually called me back. I'm embarrassed because he left a message on my voicemail. So then I called him back. He took my call. Now, those kind of phone calls, when I'm talking to somebody, I stand up in my office. I want to be like I'm talking to him right here. So I'm standing up. His name's Dino. And I talked about ideas, things we had, and he was so well organized. He said, Rick, I got three things I'm doing with my money. I'm investing, I wouldn't recommend it, and foreign currencies. I'm buying farmland and natural gas. So I said to him, I wasn't going to win this battle. I just wanted to have a rapport with him and put him on notice that I want to do business together sometime down the road. I said, that is fantastic. I wish everybody was as organized as you. But I did some homework too, and I know that his grandson, and by the way, you can go in your community, you can push nonprofit.org, and it'll tell you every nonprofit org you have in your community, it'll tell you how much cash they have in the bank. So I did a little homework there, and I saw they had $30,000 in their family foundation, $30 million. So I also said, I got some great ideas for down the road, sometime we could discuss with that family foundation. Oh, by the way, your nephew's doing a great job running the tomato plant. Just wanted to say hi. Let's stay in touch if I can ever be an assistant to you down the road. Listen, this guy shakes hands and associates and has breakfast and lunch and exercises with great, successful people. Even if I don't do business with him, I want to make him an ambassador of mine with these other people. And that's what professionals do. But I guarantee that guy who I called on, he paid his dues too to be successful. He knows, I think he kind of appreciated the fact that I asked, I stayed in touch, I haven't burned a bridge, and I'll keep you posted on how this goes. But I'm really excited about what's going to happen with that. And I love that. I love that challenge. That's on my to-do list. That's on my victory every day. So you got to have positive outlook. You got to feel good about what you're doing every day. But never burn a bridge. Put people on notice how much you love your job. A new agent, you better start saying, I've made a career. Don't ever say, I just got started. And it's powerful when you say, I've made a career, but I'd love to have a file in my office with your name on it. Got to be a professional. The walk, your talk, your dress, everything about what you do. The power of writing a thank you note, showing up on time. Preparing. The little things mean a lot. Number one thing, the biggest mistake I see agents make today is their elevator talk. It's goofy. They don't have one. It changes. Okay, what do I say? People say, in my handouts, you'll see I have my elevator talk when I'm standing in line at Starbucks, when I'm on the phone, when I'm at an appointment. I even have, for example, when I'm closing somebody, and we'll talk about that. I'll talk about that at the breakout. But you know, I never sell. My approach, I always tell people, I want to educate you on what other successful people are doing. And I always give them three choices. Might be permanent, might be term, might be universal life. And whatever one I want them to sell, I usually put it by. I put it in the middle. And then I say, which one's most comfortable for you? I mean, I want to make them ambassador. I want them to feel like they're buying it. They're not being sold. I have a great retention of business that stays on the books because people bought it. They understood it. And the other thing, the little things, like you got to tell people, like, you know, in their lifetime, people buy life insurance 6 or 7 times. They do. I said, let's walk before we run. And we have a saying in my office. I like to have the fish chase the boat. Every day we have someone call my office to buy a product. I was telling Brandon this yesterday. I just made a nice sale to someone. And I always plant a seed. I said, by the way, it was a multi-million-dollar life insurance policy. But I know if you have kids and grandkids, I mentioned to him, I said, hey, this is FYI, just for down the road, as a good businessman, I said, you have high cholesterol, you've got some blood pressure challenges that runs in your family. Not a bad idea is you're developing a portfolio for your grandkids or for your children. Now, instead of having stocks and bonds, you should maybe get the life insurance out of the way and the growth and the cash value and everything else. And he says, that's a good idea. And I said, a lot of my clients are doing that because there's no medical exam. You don't have to be concerned about the blood or the alcohol. No, but you're not concerned about the high blood pressure or the cholesterol. Like, that's a great idea. But just think about that. I'm not going to close them right then. But it's amazing. I'll see him again in a couple months, or I'll follow back up. Trust me, I made a note on that. And I might call him back and say, you know, Bill, I was thinking about you the other day. You know that idea with your grandkids? Yeah, Rick, we want to do that. I wanted to tell you that. Well, I'm not sure what their ages are, but let's lock in their age because that's going to be the same age you're going to have the rest of your life. It's going to save you thousands of dollars. Great idea. So, I mean, that's something right there in itself. You should make $4,000 or $5,000 a month just selling life insurance to children, starting their portfolio. But you got to be a professional. It's all the little things. I'm in 2 national study groups. I go to the conferences. At your company, we have a portal. I'm sure you have information, third-party information. You don't have to be an expert. You have to know a little bit about what a revocable and irrevocable trust is. What is equalizing estate? What was he talking about? All that information is out there. I mean, you can Google it today and get it. You don't have to be the expert. Especially when I was 23, 24, 25, and even today, every day I like to quote something out of the Wall Street Journal or something I saw on CNBC that separates me from the salesperson that's more of a businessman. As a businesswoman in this community, these are recommendations you have. People want recommendations. Has everybody ever been to the dentist and you've told you had a cavity? Did you go get a second opinion? No, you schedule an appointment to come back. You want to be that person. They just trust you. Your recommendation, they're going to go forward. So what are you going to do? It's those little things of being a professional. Okay, here, little thing. This is huge. So simple. You know, as I mentioned, the guys that went to college, we started up a bank. Incredible. We went out and raised $14 million. I had to pick out what the checkbooks were going to look like. I was in the loan committee, the exec committee. I learned so much on the business world, how to leverage your assets, et cetera. I never realized, though, that on every financial statement, they want to know how much cash value life insurance you own. It doesn't say term insurance. Then I realized, once a year, then I explain this to people. I mean, you could tell people this, too. The auditors come into every bank. And anybody here has ever been on an advisory board, know anything about a bank, bankers get nervous when auditors come in. And they look at every file and every loan. And what they look at is event of disability, event of bankruptcy, or event of death. Does this person have the ability to pay them back? If they do, great, we go to the next file. If they don't, the bank gets nicked. They get nicked too many times, the state of Utah, or wherever you live, says, we're going to shrink how much money that you can loan out. That's how banks make money. I never realized this before, so now I tell people, this is a living benefit. If you own permanent life insurance, this is a living benefit. See, it's a sign of stability. Anybody could buy term. People say, I never thought about that. But this is something, maybe you want to talk to an accountant, you want to talk to an attorney, just want to make a good first impression. You've been with the company for 2 hours, just started. Take out a bank financial statement, just talk about that. You've just separated yourself from everybody else as a professional. Okay, let's go back real quick. I think this is important. I will say I've made a career in New York Life. And then I say I'm very comfortable working with successful business people like you or family businesses. And then I'll pivot and say I spend most of my time helping people organize their assets. I try to be proactive with them, helping them organize their assets because, as Tom mentioned, they're concerned about the magic of medicine, they might run out of money. Retirement, children's education, unexpected death. They want to make sure there's liquidity in place. Make sure their dreams and goals will still happen, even if something happens to them. What's a good time? Tuesday or Thursday morning? I mean, lots of times, I don't even get into all that. I made a career in New York Life. You know, I would love to have a file in my office with your name on it. And they kind of know about me. I just want to get in front of them, because I don't expect them just to buy that day or the next time, but over a period of time, it's going to happen. But I'll tell you something, on elevator talks, people change with the wind. I'm an investment advisor. I was sitting on this bank board, and I told this story last night at dinner. This guy came up to me. I've made $1 million on this guy of the products he's bought me over the years. But it all happened because sitting in this bank board, we had to go around the first day, our first meeting. They said, what do you do for a living? Each one of us had to say what we did. I said, I made a career at New York Life. That's all I said. He came up to me at the break and said, Ricky, the first life insurance agent that actually says they sell life insurance. Well, they're in the life insurance world. Instead of saying they're a wealth transfer expert. Number one agent, New York Life, about 5 years ago, I was playing golf with him at a member guest golf tournament. And he was feeling really good about himself, and we were playing golf with this car dealer, very successful car dealer. The guy owns 25 car dealerships. He's heard it all. Guy asked my buddy what he does for a living. He says, I help family businesses with their exit plans. Okay, I knew what he meant. You know, retirement, deferred comp, retention bonus. I knew what he meant. You know, my friend came up to me and says, what does your buddy do? Does he work for Otis Elevator? So I'll tell you something. You'll be surprised. You'll try to be cute and sexy in what you say and how you do it, and you find out your buddy just bought $1 million life insurance policy from the Northwestern agent or someone else or whoever it is. And the guy said, I didn't know you sold life insurance. I thought you did wealth transfer financial planning. Be upfront. Be honest with people. Let's just take 2 minutes right now with the person next to you, get a chance maybe to meet somebody, and just say, just practice whatever your elevator talk is. Just do it real quick. You know, just being upfront and honest with people, it's amazing what happens. You know, people want people they can trust, that are accountable, that are respectful. But do everything you can. And the other thing, 18 months, I made a career as American National. I made a career American National. I love my job. I'm trying to build my business around successful people like you. I'd love to have a file in my office with your name on it. And then just shut up and see what they say. Say, I want to build my clientele around successful people. Pump them up. Make them feel good. You can say on the phone. You can't expect them to say, perfect, when will we get started? But you've put them on notice that you love your job, you're not going anyplace, and somewhere down the road, you know, something positive is going to come out of that. But the other thing, too, is every day I will tell you, as an agent, I get over my head all the time. But I know, I always tell people, I say this, 18 months, I've been here, how long have you really with the company? I've been here for 18 months, but I got 100 years of, let's say, you might say, how long has American National been around, or many, many years? But you have a lot of consultants, I imagine. You have an 800 number. You have these people that can go on an appointment with you. Okay? They're all part of your team. Just like you can take Tom on an appointment with you. They're part of your team. You don't have to be the expert, but you can hire, you can bring in the experts. Okay, this is a little thing about being professional. I'm a big believer. I get a lot of emails, but when someone sends me an email, I call them back. Even if it's a 6:15 voicemail to their office. Top of the day, hey Steve, thanks for that message. I appreciate that note. Just wanted to get back to you. Look forward to seeing you next week. I want them to hear my voice. I want them to hear my energy. I have little notes I write. If I have an appointment with somebody, it goes well. Hi, Dean. Thanks again for taking the time to meet with you. I really enjoyed visiting with you. Continue to good health and success. Very best, Rick Paulson. And I'll write that with my home address on it. I personalize those notes. For 28 and a half years, I've been personalizing birthday cards. Every newsletter, everything comes out of my office, I take the time to personalize it. I've had people say, Rick, I only read yours because you personalize it. And then a little thing over here, for your information. You know, you see this little card here, which leads me to, I have a lot of my clients that are builders, home developers. They're kind of on hold right now, but a lot of these guys have made a lot of money. But whatever you take your top 20 clients, you take that plan to work your plan, you make that list, what do they read? See, for my business, as a professional, as a businessman, I want to know, so for example, if I was trying to get Tom as my client, I'd want to know, not just his social security and date of birth, but I want to know where he went to college. I want to know about his kids. I want to know about his hobbies. I want to know where he lives. I want to know where his favorite vacation spot is, what he likes to drink, what's his favorite wine, you know, what he does in his downtime. Because I don't care how busy someone is, somehow they find time to read the sports page or to follow their favorite team. So what I do is a lot of my clients, whatever they do, I want to read what they're reading. Now take a step back. Do you guys get as much information as I do, and it's hard to read and stay on top of everything? It is, huh? So you kind of stack it, and I read it on the plane or take it on a trip or get up early. That's maybe what I do at Tuesday morning from 4 to 6. But wouldn't it be great, like, for example, we have a copier, and our color copier, it's a very expensive color copier. It's like $600 a month, lease. Okay, but I've never had anybody, I was thinking about this. What if someone cut out an article in Life Insurance Selling or Advisor Board, Advisor Magazine, or anything, the Wall Street Journal, that has something to apply to my business and mailed to me about every 6 weeks? Hi, Rick. Thought of you. See this little thing on the right? This is what I do. I cut out these articles. And I'm, hi, Tom. Thought of you. Thought you'd enjoy this. Every time I'm at a first-class five-star hotel, like, for example, we had a dinner at the chef's table last night. Awesome restaurant. I got a bunch of cards. I have a client or two that I know that come here. I'm going to send that card to them. I was thinking about you. Thought you would enjoy this restaurant. You know, I'm not going to mail them something on the PS 58 cost of an irrevocable life insurance policy. I want to mail them things that they'll enjoy reading, that they'd have an interest in. So anyway, we have a lot of clients who are builders. True story. After sending this to this person I had respect for, he respected me, but I didn't know him that well. After a period of time, he sent a letter to my office because I had been sending him letters for third-party articles on, you know, well, like I was saying, wouldn't it be nice if someone sent you articles? So I was sending articles to him. And he sent a letter to our office and said, Dear Rick, we have stopped our subscription to Builder Magazine. We feel if there's something important to read, you will mail it to us. That's a true story. Guy's name's Bing, just like Bing Crosby. Guy's name's Bing. Oh, just from all that, guy became a great client, even asked me to be the best man at his wedding. See, that little stuff goes a long way. Little things mean a lot wrong. Little things mean everything. Okay, this is a great story, true story. This is a lady, wonderful lady in our community, involved with all the charities, and she's been a nice client of mine for maybe 12, 13 years. But about 4 or 5 years ago, she would have us over to dinner at her house once a year on a wonderful Sunday night. And so I started sending her a beautiful bouquet of flowers on her birthday every year. So anyway, I walked into this restaurant one night. This just happened a couple months ago. And, I don't know if the date's on there, but time goes by fast. This was in February. And I ran into her, and she said, Rick, thank you for that beautiful bouquet of flowers. I want to send my money to you. Okay? I didn't know if she was just like, whatever, $100,000, $100, money for one of the charities I'm involved with. I wasn't sure. So then her son calls me up on Tuesday and says, Rick, I just got this email from my mom. She wants me to send all her money to you. I guess she sent some flowers to her or something, which I've done 4 or 5 years in a row, beautiful bouquet of flowers on her birthday. Anyway, I said, do you mind giving me a copy of that email? And that's exactly what it said. Move funds to Paulson. Let's move funds to Paulson. He sent me a beautiful bouquet of flowers on my birthday. I walked into her office. Sitting on the desk was a $1 million check. And I'll tell you, I had someone the other day give me a $2 million check. When someone does that, don't take it right away. Just let it sit there for a while. I know your legs are going like this. But just let it sit there for a little bit so you don't act like it's the first time you've ever seen something like that. Anyway, she put it there, and we talked, and I went over what we were going to do. So then I had to get permission from our home office to take the money, and they did. But, you know, little things mean a lot wrong. Little things mean everything. You got to be prepared and organized to do this kind of stuff. Hey, the people you call on will be the people that you will sell. You want to double your income? You want to be the top producer in your company? Listen, if you're going to call on people that live in trailer parks, you're going to sell people that live in trailer parks. I'll tell you, the people, who do you shake hands with? Take a step back. You know, I get phone calls all the time from an agent's son who just came out of college and just got started. He's 23 years old. He said, Rick, what do I tell my friends who are just getting out of college who think they're going to live forever? And I said, well, what you want to do is get in front of them and use them as the entree to get in front of their parents or grandparents and their godparents. And basically, I want to get in front. For me, I got up the ladder in a hurry because I got creative. As I mentioned, all my friends and family I bought from someone else. So I got involved with two nonprofit organizations. I got involved with the Chamber of Commerce. And the things that I did was, where do the employers go? Every morning, I guarantee in this town, in your community, there's someplace they go. They exercise, they have coffee. I would be there. At 11:30, 2 or 3 days a week, I'd go to the best restaurant in that community. Let's say it's the chef's table. I'm sitting there pretending I'm waiting for someone. I mean, I can't afford to have lunch there, but I pretend I am. And I stand up and I go, Tom, nice to see you. How you doing? Mr. Smith, good to see you. And I sit back down. They must think Paulson must be doing pretty good if he's having lunch here. Then I'd go to another restaurant. But I just walk in, pretend I used the restroom, pretend I was having lunch there, and I see a couple people. I go, hey, Bill, John, how you doing? Good to see you guys. And I just go on. So then at the health club, I put $250, and I forget, I paid on my credit card to join the executive part of the locker room because that's where all the guys, the big checkbooks, hung out. Okay, my buddy, my parents had moved to Leisure World, Arizona, Mesa, Arizona, after my dad had retired. So my buddy belonged to a country club. I said, give this, here's $20, give it to your dad. Let's go out to the country club and have lunch. I wanted people with money to see me at the health club, at the coffee shop, at the executive locker room. There were nonprofits that I had these fundraisers. You know, they're $10, $15, $25. Never go to those because everybody's just starting. But if they're $250, $500, $1,000, those are the ones I went. Okay, because I wanted to be in front of people that were successful. I was the only life insurance agent those within 20 miles. Okay, but early on, I couldn't afford to go. So I'd call up and say, this is a great cause. Can I volunteer and be in charge of cleanup? If you want me to come at midnight or 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, whatever you want, but as long as I can be there. I mean, I was paying my dues. I won't be like everybody else and have my picture taken with the guest and everything else. But I'm just in front of people that are being successful. All of a sudden, I mean, even at the country club, there's 20 bucks. We go out to the country club. Guys would see me. On Saturday mornings, I'd go out to the Mercedes dealership. I think some people thought I was washing cars. I'm not sure. But they saw me out there. But wherever they went, they saw me in places that were successful people hung out. Okay, I had a blue blazer. I couldn't wait till the summer because I got tired of wearing the same blue blazer every day. So I didn't have to wear it. So I was paying my dues. I was stretching my dollar. But I was stretching my time. I was organizing my time, getting in front of successful people. And I have found that, you know, everybody for some reason calls on a young couple that just bought a house and just had a baby. Most of them can't afford waiver or premium, let alone term insurance. But older people, you want to make a lot of money, just call on older people. You can do what Tom talks about. But, you know, older people see the light at the end of the tunnel. They know people that died, had or didn't have life insurance. They're concerned about retirement planning, the long-term care. You know, I have parents come in my office, grandparents come in my office, says, Rick, I love my kids, but I love my grandkids more. I want to do something for them. And I said, what do you have in mind? He said, we have a CD and we got some commercial property. And I said, I don't know if I'd give anybody property right now. You know, the magic of life insurance, one of the things I tell people is, unlike a piece of property that you have to put up for sale, you got a termite report, you got to pay a commission, all this stuff, boom, 2 or 3 weeks, you got a tax-free check coming out. My suggestion is, you know, I took some of this money and I put it in one of the Tom's products he talked about, this guaranteed lifetime income, and it kicked off enough money to buy a $500,000 secondary life insurance policy on these grandparents. And he had 5 grandkids. When you pass on, they're both going to get $100,000. And while you're alive, you can talk about it, and you can set it up, you can orchestrate it or however you want. When they pass on, they'll get this. And you'll feel good about it, but it's also going to free up money, so you don't have to leave it all over here for them. Now you've got extra money to take them on trips and spend more time with them. That's an easy sale. So it's a little stuff that, you know, the people you're calling, who you're getting in front of. So I used to always look for ways, like these nonprofits. Once I joined a nonprofit, if you join an organization, people come around the country, Rick, how do I make sales? Do not join a nonprofit organization at the church, at the school, at the hospital to make sales. You join that nonprofit organization to make a difference, to bring value. And if you do, trust me, people are making notes. They're watching you. And I tell you how much, millions of dollars of life insurance I have sold to people called, Rick, we're on the same committee. My accountant says I need a $5 million secondary policy. Will you do it for me? Because they saw me on the microphone. They saw me in charge. They saw me follow through. I was the first guy at the meeting, the last one to leave. Now I got something in common with these people. Okay, you got to be organized to do that stuff. But, you know, if you want that lifestyle, you want to do things in your community, make a difference in your family and grandkids and your charities, that's what successful people are doing. The people you call and the people you shake hands with are the people you're going to sell. Pretty simple, but it's pretty powerful. And here's one of the things I prepared for you. You'll get this in the handout. But this is my wheel of success. As you'll see, I have one for you guys. But you got to fill in your own. But here's mine. For example, my church on the right-hand side. I told them, if you take the words, no one can't have vocabulary, it's amazing what you can do. I was in charge of raising $10 million. And when my kids go to school, we redid the school, the church, a community center. It's a great profit center. It's a huge plus in my community. You know, and the time and effort and the money I put in, you can't believe all the business that's come from it. That wasn't the idea. I wanted to make this place where my kids are going to go to school better. It came back and, you know, unbelievable. The health club. You know, I know people that sit in front of computers that can do incredible illustrations, but got no one to put in front of. So I'd go to the health club sometimes twice a day at different times. I'd especially like to go at 2 o'clock. Because who's there at 2 o'clock? The employer. If the health club is this big and there's 500 treadmills, and the guy's over there in the corner, go get right next to him. And all of a sudden you're talking, and one of the things I do, I say, I'm Rick, how you doing? How you doing today? 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you're getting your workout in, so am I. I'm so busy right now. His name's John. I said, John, will you watch this? We're the only two in there. I said, John, will you watch this? I'll be right back. I go and I write down his name, John. I said, John, you come every Tuesday? I sure do. I'll probably see you next Tuesday too. I come walking in the room next Tuesday. John, top of the day, how you doing? He doesn't remember my name, but he was impressed I remembered his. Okay, over a period of time, good things are happening. John ends up being my client. And they always go back and say, Rick, I'll never forget. You're just so good with names. Well, I went and wrote it down. I went to the owner of the health club. I was 24 years old. All these guys that have these big checkbooks, racquetball was a big thing then. So I said, why don't we form this? I go, this is a great health club. Let's form a board of directors for this health club, ways to grow membership, to get more people engaged, involved. The guy goes, that's a great idea. I said, well, let's get that attorney over there and these CPAs. Who's that guy over there? And let's have lunch once a month. Once a month, we started meeting. They got to know me. I got to know them. A couple of them did business with me. At the University of Pacific, I graduated from there. I'm on the School of Business. I'm a guest lecturer at the MBA program. Every year I raise over $100,000 for the athletic department. It's been a win-win all the way around. But I'm a leader. I just received an award for 800 people. Every year I get the same award because I'm always a top fundraiser. I'm not kidding. All I do is put about an hour and a half of phone calls in, and I get about $100,000. But everyone else raises about $10,000 because they don't put the time in. And it's amazing the inexpensive free PR I'm getting in front of these people that are business owners in my community. See, we've created a brand of trust, of commitment, of success, of leadership. People want to do business with people like that. They'll really understand our products, but they'll put $2 million in that Ponzi scheme just because they trust you. Through my kids, through my children, I coach everything they do. I'm not passing out cards, but somehow good things happen. Anybody that respects you, drop in, have a power day. Came by to say hello. Your 10 best clients, every month, you got to be saying hello, you got to drop in and say hi. You go out of your way, say hello. Whatever it is, you're always in front of them. But it's amazing. If you come by their office with nothing in your hands, they're going to take you around, introduce you to people, to say, this is my life insurance agent. Your event. Many years ago, actually my sophomore year of college, I started my own golf tournament called the Good Guys Open. And we started raising money. One of my good buddies, his daughter, his sister, has Down syndrome. So we raised money for that, and we're still doing it today. But again, I was in charge. I was a leader. It's a wonderful way. Look for ways to be in charge, to volunteer, to do something no one else wants to do. Once you gain people respect, they'll call them up. Out of respect, they'll give you an appointment. The secret to our business is just getting in front of people. Okay, the hospital. At the hospital, the 23rd year, this Monday, I'm putting on a charity golf tournament, the charity and tennis golf tournament. 150 people are participating. Every year, it's raised maybe $1 million to the hospital. I've got in front of all these doctors. I didn't try to get in front of these doctors, but because I was a leader, they wrote about me, they promoted me in their newsletters and everything else. I'm a leader at the hospital. By just giving back, by being organized, here's a wheel of business that I've created for myself that every day we have the fish chasing the boat, someone calling us to creating opportunities. Hey, create your own wheel of success. This is in the handbook. Become a sponge to success. Study people that are being successful. If you don't have a study group, form one. When you go to your producer meetings, wherever they are, pick someone's brain. Who's having success? Have coffee with someone. I don't care. For example, we have a great agent, Lloyd Wilson. We were at our cabin, our top meeting. Every morning he was having a breakfast meeting with someone to learn, to grow, to get better. Yeah, I was taking notes. I'm thinking, right on, Lloyd. Way to go. That's awesome. You know, successful people, these are the things they do. Now, I've got a ton of sales ideas. And I mean, these are things that will double your income that I'm going to share at the break. I was going to go through them now, but I know we're taking a break at 12 o'clock. Okay. So with that in mind, I mean, I have a thing I call motivational trust. I have something I want to talk to you about the internal rate of return of the death benefit. You have two financial statements, one while you're alive, one when you pass on. You know, life insurance is nothing more than a piece of paper that says what? I love you. You know, so these are things we're going to talk about today. The golden handcuffs about what you do for key employees. So I got a lot of great sales ideas. As I mentioned to you, and I will tell you, and I'm proud to tell you this, I have a personal goal every year. I try to raise $100,000 for local charities in my community. But when I give a talk, instead of them writing the check to me, a fee or anything, I've always had them write the check to local communities. I've paid my dues in a way that I want to give back. One of the things I do, I have a handout right here. It's in the back. It's $20. The money doesn't go to me. It goes to a great story. I got to tell you, it's an orphanage in Africa. The dean of boys at my school, at my son's high school, started him and his wife. They're both school teachers, limited income. But their dream always was to create their own orphanage over in Africa, someplace to make a difference. Well, we had a fundraiser. We Skyped all these kids. I have some pictures of the kids. But whenever, and it's an amazing story how well they're doing. Some of the kids had baseball hats and shirts on that we gave them. We have our families and friends. We all go back every summer. There's a group of about 24 people going back, setting up, teaching kids how to play soccer. I mean, it's an amazing story. So anyway, I want you to know that if you do decide to pick up any of these ideas I share with you, 100% of your money is going to the orphanage in Africa. So with that in mind, two things. Number 9 here, I want to say have fun. You got to reward yourself. You have to find places that you can, and I'll tell you, I'll talk about this afternoon. I call it the cookie jar. For example, we were visiting last night. Some agents, you know, does anybody here work nights? We all had to somewhere along the line, okay? It's challenging. You have family and friend at home, or your daughter, you have something going on, you feel guilty being out. Well, this is something I did many years ago, and I encourage you, and and it works. Go buy a cookie jar. Sit down with your family. Sit down with your wife. Sit down, whoever is your making sacrifice of not being home, and you're going to say, I'm going to work 3 days a week at night. I'm going to have two appointments on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday each night. And you tell them, whatever first year commissions, whatever money I make from this, I'm going to take 50%, and we're going to put it right here in the cookie jar. And we're going to use that to go on our family vacation. And we're going to want to go to Disney, or we want to go put a pool in the backyard. Or, honey, you and I want to go to Europe. I'm going to make some sacrifices, but the money is going to be from this, is going to go towards that goal. And every quarter, we're going to do something different. They're going to get so engaged in this, they're going to call you when they get home from work to say, Dad, you ready for your appointments tonight? Are you ready to go? You come home, you say, hi, everybody. I went out those appointments. Good luck, Dad. Do you have anything? Here's something. I wrote you a little note for good luck. And by the way, will you wake me up when you get home? I want to know how you did. So now you get them engaged. Have some fun with this business. Set some goals. I know for me, I used to write 10 apps every month. I tried to get done the first 2 weeks. Then I had relaxed selling the next 2 weeks. Once I met my goal, then I'd go play 9 holes of golf. Or maybe you and your spouse, you take a long weekend. Or you go out to dinner, or you have your cigar, or whatever it is. Whatever it is that you can reward yourself, I think that's important. And then last but not least, and as I heard our great man Tom speak today and around the country, I've had a chance to be around some incredible people. And I get a chance to pick up things I want to share with you, which I'm going to do right now, and then we'll wrap this up. The New York Life calls these Paulsonisms. And I'm just going to share a couple with you, a couple of ones I think that are important. Number one, to everything you do in your life, you want to bring value. You want to bring inspiration. You want to bring passion. Always take the high road. Create ambassadors. Make people president of your fan club. Every day, try to do something for somebody that can never pay you back. That's why I got involved with this orphanage. There's no gain for me on this. It's just a good feeling thing. It's been very exciting, very rewarding. Real simple, the golden rule. Treat people the way that you want to be treated. This is one of my favorites. Don't tell people your troubles, because 90% of the people don't care. And the other 10% are so glad it's happening to you. Don't be a complainer. And last but not least, this is something that as I go around the country, and Tom and I see this when we go to meetings, is so many agents are so focused on being, I got to be top of the table. I got to be the top producer in my office. I got to be number one. I got to be agent of the year. And all of a sudden, you see the track record, there's a pattern of the relationships break up. Something goes sideways. They're kids. Something happens. They didn't have their priorities right. So I think at the end of the day, for all of us, at least for me, I want to be a great family man. I want to have integrity. I want to be a leader in my community. I want to be noted as a friend. And so with that in mind, I'm going to tell you one final story, and it's a cute one, but it's a true one. And I'm upbeat, I'm positive, I say goodbye to my boys. And it was in the summer, and Max, who just started freshman high school, and I'd always say, top of the day, guys, fly with the Eagles, have a great day. Something along that line. Well, Max, who's about 7, and I pulled out of my house, and I was coming around the front, and he came running out the front door, had his jammies on and everything, because he did, in his mind, he had just heard me say, fly with eagles. So he comes running out, and he says, Dad, oink with the pigs, oink with the pigs. So anyway, it's been a treat for me to be with you, and every time that I give a talk, it makes me better, because everything I'm telling you, I have to be doing myself. We're going to spend 2 hours this afternoon. I want you to know how much I appreciate being with you. It's an honor to be with this incredible group. This is a great symposium, without a doubt, probably the finest in the country, if not without doubt, without being the best. Thank you so much.